Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We'll begin with prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for moving mightily in this communion class. Help us to go forward. I thank you for the things you're going to do. Bless every coming, everyone who ministers today to minister by your Spirit. Help us to go forward in you, only forward in you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, we got another good, glorious week.
Amen.
And God is moving. He's still on the throne.
Yes, yes. Good morning, good morning.
And his return is soon.
Good morning.
Yesterday, the Lord put something on my heart for the communion class today. He wanted me to teach on transition. As you draw near to him, we grow from glory to glory.
Mm-hmm.
We transition first in our relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever he gives us to do, he's going to always tell us to serve, always tell us to love.
Mm-hmm.
In a worldly sense, love is, because love is serving others, you are basing yourself. You're putting others first. And that's a key ingredient in following God. And eventually, as you do that, things, you put sowing in motion. You're sowing good seeds, and things are in motion. And it will cause you to prosper.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as the Lord increases you, you have to transition into the increase, into the success, the promotion, the greater form of God's will. Because that's what it produces. I want to go back to Philippians chapter 4 again. And this time we'll start at verse 4 and read up. And this is my favorite set of scriptures for securing peace in the Lord. You know, he gave it to us, but we secure it by, we receive it. And this is how to receive it and keep it. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The Lord is always there. He's always listening. He's always available. And he said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. As we live in his ways, we live a moderate life. And we set ourselves up to be a blessing to and for other people. It's because we're like lampstands. In Zechariah, the lampstand was receiving the glory of God and releasing the glory of God in the form of oil. The lamps were holding the oil, and it burned, and it gave illumination to everybody. We receive the love of God and we relay it. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication,
mm-hmm.
with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And if you do that, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We have it again. We're receiving strength from the Lord, and we're building up so that we can live, and then we have enough to share with others. Our cup runs over. And our cup can run over in peace, it can run over in love and strength and counsel and knowledge and wisdom, whatever we need. The Lord is available, and as we look to him, we can relay his word. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. These are the things that help you build up so that you can abound. And in order to do this, you have to study and you have to receive his word. You're putting your will last and putting his will first. And I was concerned. I've been very concerned about, I know that these are the last days and the Lord has to return. And I keep thinking, I say, well, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? What else can I do in these last moments? I'm always thinking like that. And last night he said, these are glorious days. Enjoy me. Don't worry about the days. I can only help people in his strength. And I have to be strengthened by him to do that. And you think on the good things, and then your light shines brighter. You're able to help people in a greater way. He said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them, and the God of peace shall be with you. Verse 10, But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care has flourished again, wherein you were also careful but lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of lack, for I have learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now this is the part I wanted to get to, but that's the foundation. Verse 12 says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I was doing a broadcast last week, and I never thought about abasing and abounding the way the Lord had me to minister it. When you are abasing yourself, it's not just like doing without money. When you choose to put your will on the back burner and God's will first, even if it's something for you, if a person is drinking too many sodas, and the Holy Spirit see that he's developing a problem, he's going to have a problem if he continues to drink too many sodas. So his wisdom may be to start drinking more water, less soda, in order to fulfill God, in order to receive that word and use it. He'll have to abase himself in that area. He'll have to say, well, I can't drink that. He's limiting himself on purpose as a free will choice. So he's abasing himself. He's drinking more water and less soda. A friend of mine used to drink tea all day, every day for lunch. He would drink tea. He loved tea. He'd get an extra glass and cup and bring it back to work and drink on it. And then he started having kidney stones. Well, the third kidney stone, he lost his taste for tea. All he wanted was water. I don't think he drank tea anymore. I doubt if he does, but the Holy Spirit will give us wisdom,
yes,
against the future so that we'll prosper. But when you pay attention, when you commune with him like that, you learn things that benefits you. But in order to secure it, you have to make a change. You have to, not eat as much salt and sweets and meats and things that hurt your body. And also, walking in love is important. He may guide you to walk in love in a greater way. When he does, if we abase ourselves, if we say, yes, Lord, being humble to God, you're putting your will after his. And when I read what Jesus said in the Beatitudes, I said, I really want to do this. I'm not too good at it when I was reading it. So I read that a lot. And it was important to me to do what he said. But I found out if you do what he said, it works. And you can get used to being abased. You can any area of life, you can get comfortable with that area of life. But what has to happen is you're not going to stay in the same state. The more we walk in love and seek the counsel of God and make adjustments, we are basing ourselves. We're putting our will last. But our will start developing into a mature will. Your will change into his will on purpose with intent. It won't be, well, I got to make myself study. I got to make myself pray. It becomes... You have a vision and a passion for it. You start doing things of God on purpose with intent and in love. And it's a joy in that. But when you first start, it may feel like you're stacking bricks. But as you continue, it's more like walking in the garden, smelling roses. It's good. So when the time will come where you have to make some more adjustments. The Lord may call you to the ministry. He may give you, he may prosper you in ways that You never expect it, and it'll happen. And it'll be easy to you, and you'll want, you won't feel, it's a new world. It's like walking into a new place where you don't know anybody. You know, when you're abounding, life is different. And sometimes people, they say, no, Lord, I don't want, you know, you may start prophesying. And Alicia's mother started doing that, and she said, Lord, take this from me. It scared her. She shouldn't have did that, but she did. She told me she had words of knowledge for people, and she would give them, and it'll be accurate, but she didn't. When you do the right things, you're going to develop. It's part of it. That's where you have to transition. If you weren't abased, you have to transition into abasing where it's necessary. And from there, you're going to abound. The reason people are the head and not the tail is because they abase themselves. David, he received his calling, his anointing for king, and he used it as a platform to serve. And Solomon, he reluctantly received the king, but then when he started abounding, that's all he wanted. He didn't want to abase himself, and he got fired. He looked at his focus changed, and he looked at the people. He tried to run the king in office in his own strength. We can't run anything in our own strength, because the example that Zechariah gave us is the lampstand. We were all.
Are you talking about Solomon or Saul?
I meant Saul. Yeah. Now Saul, he hid himself among the stuff, and then he came to a point where he did it his way. He should have been abasing his own will, He should have kept the kingdom in God's strength, but he tried to run it in his strength. So it changed his focus, and God had to remove him. But David was different. He started out like we did in worship. And in worship will automatically help you abase yourself where you need to. And then when promotion comes, you transition into the promotion. And the Lord called people to the ministry, and they feel like, I'm not worthy to do that. Well, you did the things that was necessary, and now it's wise for God to call you. And you continue the transition process. And Peter did it. Peter was in. We'll just read a few scriptures in 10. We're out of time. Remember when Peter was sitting on the rooftop waiting on dinner, and he was fasting, and the Lord gave him the three visions of the unclean animals to slay and eat. Well, down in the men from Cornelius came. And verse 17. And now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And the reason he said doubting nothing is because you have to receive what the Lord has given. You have to transition from your doubts to his faith. And he went, and he had to. Doubt is always a choice. We have faith. But if we get into doubt, we chose to. We always do. I asked, the Lord said that faith looks to God, fear looks to man, pride looks within. And I said, Lord, what about doubt? What is the doubt focusing on? And he said, doubt is a surrendering focus. You're surrendering your authority to something else. You're surrendering yourself to something that God didn't ordain. So he said, go with them, doubting nothing. So Peter had been around Christ. He knew what to do. He chose not to doubt, and he got in faith, and he did another landslide sermon. They received the Holy Spirit before he could baptize them in water. So that's not a requirement, but, you know, that's what he said at first. So, but anyway, the Holy Spirit fell on him when he didn't expect it to. He didn't expect them to receive the Holy Spirit so swiftly, and it happened, but he doubted nothing. In your ministry, you have to we have to transition all the time. And the Lord, when the Lord train you and prepare you, then he will help you to make all the necessary steps. So your training will help you transition. All you have to do is keep yielding to him and abound. Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. And when that's in place, a lot of people, they don't receive their ministry and their calling because they don't, they're looking at the situation. Never look at the problem. Problems always can always look big. Always look at him. Then you see the problem for what it is. Some people are just not going to get saved. That's just the way it is. But I can enjoy the Lord. And as I do, I can help people in a great way. In him. I can't do it by myself anyway. So that takes the pressure off, and I can enjoy the day and be prepared for whatever he wants to do. As we transition, we're going to find greater measures of success. That's a great part of communion. Any comments, questions? I love this book by Joseph. I've been watching Joseph Prince. He's got a lot of revelation on grace. I remember Henry Gruber said that a lot of the Chinese people, Oriental people, they deal with the mind a lot. And that, with grace, they needed a man like him because he deals with faith from the heart. And when the Lord trains a person for a calling, they have loads of information on them. That's their calling. So he can make some people mad with the grace message he has, but it's not. He's accurate. Okay. He said this is he's quoting from Corinthians 11, but he made it more revised. I like the way he did it. He said, "Thank you, Jesus, for your broken body. It is for my healing, my spouse's healing, and my children's healing. Thank you that by your stripes, by the beatings you bore, by the lashes which fell on your back, we are completely healed, and I believe and I receive." We receive from it. When we win, people see us win, and their inspiration goes up. Thank you, Jesus, for the new covenant cut in your blood. Your blood has brought me forgiveness and washed me from every sin. I thank you that your blood has made me righteous, and as I drink, I celebrate and partake of the inheritance of the righteous, which is preservation, healing, wholeness, and prosperity. And we receive it all. Thank you, Jesus. I love you because you first loved me. And he backs us up in every way. Dear Lord, I thank you for every word spoken and everything that you're doing in our lives. Help us to go forward and mightily transition in every way we need to. In Jesus' mighty name, bless our faithfulness. Amen. All right.